bringing light unto a dark world. Christ the King World Radio at ctkradio.org.
The views and opinions of the hosts or guests of the following program may or may not be those of the staff or management of CTK World Radio.
Hi, my name is Kevin Cullis, and you're tuned in to Let's Talk Business and the Bible, and we're here at Christ the King. CTKRadio.org. Say it again so I make sure I get it right. Here at the Christ the King World Radio at CTKRadio.org. How y'all doing, folks? This is my name is Kevin Cullis. I am what I call myself a chief business geek. And this is my inaugural show. And so I'm going to tell you first off a little bit about myself, my little story, my little journey, my little lane, as my good friend Beatrice Bruno talks about being in my lane. So I'm going to talk a little bit about myself. Then I'm going to talk a little bit about where we're going with this show. So let's get into a little bit of my history. I was born at an early age. Da-dum-dum. You need a little, Clarence, you need a little going on there. Exactly. I was born in the East Coast in Virginia. My parents, we grew up, my dad worked for the Voice of America. He actually, a little bit of history is, he actually went to school with Willard Scott, the NBC weatherman. He and my dad went to school back then at American University with a guy, also a blind guy named Ed Walker. So I grew up knowing Willard Scott and Ed Walker growing up. But that's another day, another story. Moved out to Colorado and graduated from high school at Bear Creek High School here in Lakewood or Morrison. And then went in the Air Force. Part of it was I didn't know what I wanted to do, and I didn't want to go to college. I just was done with school. Didn't like it. Got average grades. Just wasn't motivated to go anything far. Of course, my parents said, well, why don't you go in the service? I said, okay, I'll go in the service. So went through basic, and of course, as a young teenager, I never kept my room clean. But when I came back from basic, white glove on the furniture, and Mom, how bad is this room? How can you haven't cleaned my room, and I have to go back over what you didn't do or didn't do good enough compared to what the military taught me. So I sat there and learned all about the military, and it, you know, kicked my butt a little bit, got me going, and went in the service, went to Texas, went to Utah at Hill Air Force Base. Then went over. I was a crew chief. With that, crew chief was I was responsible for aircraft at the time. It was F-4Ds that had just come back from Thailand, and then working on them, and then went over to England for 2 years. Worked on what's called recce birds. They were R-4Cs. Crew chief over there. I'll tell you what, it is over in England from about August, September to time frame to about May, June. It doesn't rain in England. It drizzles constantly. And I 2 years over there, I only saw it rain twice. I mean, downpour. Every other time was just drizzle, drizzle, drizzle. So you just always wet. Spent time in England, then came back to Hill Air Force Base, worked on F-16s, and was bored. Doing the same thing over and over, and just wasn't challenged as much. You know how you get? You just, I'm not there, and I just, you know, God, there's something's got to be more. I got to do more. And so I said, okay, well, I'm going to get out and I'm going to go to school. So I got out, started school at Weber State. At the time, it was Weber State College. Now it's Weber State University in Ogden, Utah. And still didn't know what to do. I said, well, I'm going to go and I'll study history. And so, and at the time, I started in 1980, started school. Didn't have a real good major. So I said, well, let me pick on history. Started that. And then I said, well, you know what? I got a lot of gumption in me, got a lot of still good stuff inside me and motivation. So why don't I go through ROTC? Then go back in the service. I said, okay. So I entered ROTC. And it was one of those things at the time when you entered the service, you had to graduate by a certain age in order to go back in. There was an age limit. So I literally had to, I couldn't change my degree at all. So I was either change my degree and not get in the service, or stay in degree with history and graduate and go back in. So I stayed with history, graduated June of 1983, signed up to be a navigator, not quite pilot. They take engineers to be pilot stuff, but entered in back in the service in January of 84. Actually had a parasailing accident. Put me back. Yeah, broke my elbow and my two heels.
You actually tried that?
Well, it's part of training. When you go in any type of flying, you learn how to parachute. And this parasailing is they take a vehicle and they tow the, you've seen it on like Cancun or whatever, they tow on a boat, they tow it. Well, this is a vehicle on the ground and they tow you up really high and they stop, and then you have to maneuver the parachute to land correctly.
I'd rather them just push me out the plane.
Well, yeah, it would be nice, but it's more expensive flying an airplane up than, you know. Anyway, long story short is I didn't quite hear so well, and you're supposed to take the riser, and when you're turning, you're supposed to literally release the riser slowly up. And when I was turning, I couldn't hear very well, and he was yelling in the megaphone, stop! And so I literally released it rather than let it rise up slowly, which when you release it, it starts doing a bell thing. And so I fell from about 30 feet up, and instead of pointing my toes down, I reversed it and put my heels up, and I chipped both heels, and my elbow broke the tip off. So that put me back for about 6 weeks. But long story short, I didn't make it through navigator training. I failed out of it. I just had too much history and not enough math. Sad part. But that's neither here nor there. But it's part of a life, right? But they said, hey, do you want to stay in the service? I said, absolutely. I love being in the service. I love serving my country. I love being that, having that cause that's bigger than myself. So they said, okay, well, you've got experience with aircraft maintenance. How about going to aircraft maintenance school? I said, yep, let's go. So I went down to Rantoul, Illinois, to Champaign, Urbana, or actually was a, what was that base? I don't remember now, but went there for 6 months learning all about aircraft maintenance, and then got stationed in Cannon Air Force Base in New Mexico. Was there with F-111Ds out in the dry New Mexico. And then went over to Bitburg, Germany with F-15 Cs and Ds. And just before I was leaving Germany in August of 1990, Saddam Hussein gets over and invades Kuwait. And I had 1 month left of my tour over in Germany. I went to my commander. I said, I want to stay. He said, sorry, can't stop. Because I had orders to go to Wurzmuth Air Force Base in Michigan, which was B-52s and KC-135s. Going from F-15s with a bunch of fighter pilots to B-52s and KC-135 is like going from a Formula One driver to an 18-wheeler. Now, there's still good guys in there, still good pilots and all that stuff, but it's just fighter pilots, you know, nah, but anyway, you know, nothing against them.
I've seen Top Gun.
Yeah, exactly. So I went to Wurzmuth and got involved with, at the time, was what was called Total Quality Management. And it basically, the process is that you take a look at a process of the step-by-step what it takes to produce something, and you find ways to reduce that time frame so that you save time and redeploy the asset somewhere else. When you're faster at something, that means you can do it over again faster. Mm-hmm. So it'd be like Clarence here producing a radio show. If you get faster producing a radio show, how many shows can you produce? Mm-hmm. A lot more. So that's the idea behind total quality management. It's called cycle improvement, quality assurance, all those things. But that's the basic gist of it. I got involved with that. I trained the Air Force at my base at Wurzmuth. I trained them on how to do that. The issue is mentally how to improve what you do. And guess what? Every business has to do it. No matter what business you're in, you got to find faster and better ways to doing things, mm-hmm. because you can use your efforts elsewhere,
yeah.
in doing something. So I did that, and I decided I was going to finish my master's because I was going to stay in the service, but the Air Force said, we're going to start reducing everybody. And I said, well, what do I do? Do I stay in or want to get out? It's one of those things that another pivot, you know, you had to say, you know what? I'm going to go out and do it on my own. So I got out. I finished up my master's, did my thesis on process improvement. The issue was how to communicate from an organizational standpoint, how to communicate where you want to go, what you want to do, and how well you communicate. And basically, you walk the talk. If you don't walk the talk, people see that and they say, "You're, yeah, exactly, take a hike." So that was, you know, I verify through surveys that if you don't walk the talk, people don't follow you.
Right.
You got to be a leader, and leader means you're leading. You're not a boss pushing everybody. You're leading. You're saying, this is where we're going. Follow me. So got out, finished my master's degree, and then started working. Started and ended up getting a job. My wife was working in real estate, and then I started working for a computer sales company, or a sales company of, or in sales for a computer company. And once again, I got bored doing the same thing over and over again. Man, I got so much in me. I got plenty of talents and skills, but I'm not being utilized completely. So I said, what am I going to do? You know, and people would come in, I'd answer the computer questions, and I'd sit there, okay, what am I going to do with this? And then, so finally one day I said, well, I'm going to sit there and write my answers down. So I sit there and I said, okay, let me take whatever customer problem they have, let me write the problem down, let me go write the solution for it, or write the steps to do it. And so I literally said, like, sitting there and writing, like, they always said, hey, I'm computer literate, but I need some fax software. So I sit there and say, okay, well, give them some information. Say, here's good, better, best of those things. Take a look at it. Which one sounds like will fit your budget and what you want to do? Oh, this one here. Okay, let's go with that. So I literally did that. And so I started writing it down. And after about 6 months, a lady came in and I said, oh, I'm writing my answer down for computer stuff for business people. And she said, why don't you write a book? And I went, yeah. I can write a book. I don't have to just write it. I can write a book and sell it. That's another way of making income. I was like, yeah, I could do that. Yeah. So I went home all excited. I said, oh, start putting it into chapters and everything, writing it all down. And here's the interesting thing is, after about 6 months of writing this, I sat there and announced to all my family. I said, guess what? Now, of course, my mom had passed away. My dad had a girlfriend. My brother, my sister, sister-in-law, my nephew. At dinner, on a Sunday dinner, and I announced to my family, I said, guess what? I'm writing a book. And you know what happened, don't you? Both my sister and sister-in-law laughed at me and said, you write a book? Yeah, right.
And you did it.
I did it. And what was really interesting, Clarence, is that my dad's girlfriend, as she was leaving, she said, you go write that book. You go write that book. Now, a lot of people sit there and say that the negatives fuel you. Mm-hmm. Negatives don't fuel me. Positives fuel me. So while some people will say my sister and sister-in-law laughed at me, and I say, well, I'll take that and I'll just go prove it differently. I don't. But when my dad's girlfriend said, you go write that book, that's when I grabbed it and I owned it. And I said, I'm going to go do it.
So that's where a lot of the inspiration came
from. That's where a lot of the inspiration came from. Is not only was my idea, but somebody said, I believe in you. You go do it. Not you can't do it. Because there's some people motivated by negative stuff. Mm-hmm. But for me, I'm motivated by more positive stuff. You go do it. You can do it. And I grabbed that and I ran with it. So basically, when it comes to that, I'll tell you on the other side what's going to happen with what I did with that idea and what I took with that motivation. So my name is Kevin Cullis, and you're tuned in to Let's Talk Business and the Bible here at Christ the King World Radio at ctkradio.org.
World TV Depot supports Christ the King World Radio at ctkradio.org. If you're in the Denver metro area and you need internet, get it now for $1 a day. No bundles, no hassles, and only a 12-month contract. For more information, call World TV Depot at 720-275-1355. Again, that is 720-275-1355.
This portion of our broadcast day made possible by GECS, Corporate Identity, Custom Graphics, and Website Design. For more information, visit their website at www.gecs-us.com. That address again, www.gecs-us.com.
Christ the King World Radio is a 501c3 nonprofit internet Christian radio station. And at this time, we need your financial support. To help us continue to bring the light unto a dark world, please visit one of the donate links conveniently located on our websites, www.worldmediaministries.org or ctkradio.org. And thank you for listening to and supporting Christ the King World Radio at ctkradio.org.
Bringing light unto a dark world. Christ the King World Radio at ctkradio.org.
Here on, you're tuned in with Let's Talk Business and the Bible here at Christ the King World Radio at ctkradio.org. My name is Kevin Cullis, and I'm your chief business geek, and I'm going to finish up my story, which I left off on the last point there, and that was about starting my book. Well, of course, talked about when I started it, you know, my dad's girlfriend was the one that said, hey, you go write that book. Well, that was the motivation. Some people get motivated by negative stuff. Depends on your personality. Other people get motivated by positive stuff. And for me, positive stuff is what motivates me. You can do it. Not you can't do it. Some people say, you can't do it, I'll go show you. For me, when you say you can do it, I go do it. So anyway, I started from there. And the key point here is this is the journey of me writing my first book. So I started writing and focusing on a book. And of course, when you start anything, you know, the way I look at things, God doesn't steal a parked car. You can't steer it if it's parked. So you got to get moving. And that's when things start happening. Not only you start moving ahead, but also the fact of the matter is that things start popping into place. So I started writing. The nice thing about it was that I literally would interview customers during the day, and I'd go find their problems and go home and write about it at night. So literally every day, and this is the nice thing about being in business for yourself, and my writing my first book is I talk to my customers every day. I was in front of my customer every day listening to their problems. So literally I would listen to their problem, solve their problem, and then I'd go home and write about it. That's the number one thing that every business needs to understand is you need to be in front of your customer. You don't sit back in the nice cubicle or in the nice office home or in the basement or in the garage and say, I'm going to create this great product. You got to get out in front of your customers to see what they're saying and they're doing. And so I literally wrote, I'd go, you know, every day, go find a problem, go find the solution, then go write about it. My first book took 5 years for me to write. But in the meantime, came out in 2010, June 2010. In the meantime, I went from computer sales of one company to working for Apple for 3 years. And again, here's the key point of working for Apple. Originally, I was running Linux. That makes me the bold guy.
Yeah.
Or the old gray beards, although I look old if I have a beard, but old gray beard, they call Linux and Unix guys. And I was running Linux at the time, and at the time writing my book, I said, I'm going to write about Windows, Mac, and Linux. I said, small businesses, they would all love this book. And then I worked for Apple, and I realized Apple people could care less about Windows and Linux. So here's some amazing, I went from Windows, Mac, and Linux, listening to your customers. I said, I need to write only about Max. So I had to take all that information out and start over. I had the same idea, but just reformat it and just take all the Windows and Linux out and just concentrate on a Mac. But again, being an ego-driven guy, I sit there, I'm going to write for all those big companies that have Macs in them. I'm going to write all this big book for all the CEOs. And again, when you listen to your customer and you drive and you start taking steps, things start plopping in place. Well, I found out that in the state of Colorado, as an example, there are roughly 5 million people. So, Clarence, let me ask you, how many businesses do you think there are out of 5 million people total, dads, moms, kids, how many businesses do you think are in the state of Colorado?
I'd say maybe 150,000, 200,000.
Very good. Very good. It depends on who you go talk to and where you get the numbers. But yeah, 250, 300, 400,000, somewhere in there. But here's the interesting thing. How many of those businesses of those total number, let's say use a 300,000, out of 300,000 businesses, how many of those businesses have greater than 500 employees? The average person says, oh, probably about 10,000, 30,000. No. In the state of Colorado, not in LA or New York or Chicago, but in the state of Colorado, less than 1,000 have greater than 500 employees. Now, in Colorado, that's HP, Coors, IBM, state of Colorado, less than 1,000. And yet my target market for my book was CEOs. So if you stop and think of less than 1,000 have greater than 500 employees, if I wrote a computer book for every CEO and I got 100%, I would only sell 1,000 copies in the state of Colorado. But guess what? I'm writing for Macs. So Mac has 10% market share, and 10% of 1,000 means 100, which means in the state of Colorado, if I had 100% market share of the Macs, I would only sell 100 books. Oh, man. So what do I do? Well, if the greater than 1,000 is at that level, less than 1,000, greater than 5 employees, what's the other end? 95% of the businesses in the state of Colorado have under 10 employees.
Okay.
And vast majority of them are solopreneurs. Me. Of a single lawyer, a single accountant. That's the vast majority of every area. If you look at all throughout the nation, all the biggest demographic for business in the state or in the nation is going to be the solopreneur, a person that operates out of their own home. Mm-hmm. So I've gone from Windows, Mac, and Linux to I'm going to write for big server companies and get my head real big and not making anything to I need to focus on solopreneurs because that's where the people need the help the most.
I would agree.
You would agree. Absolutely. Absolutely. So that's when I had to change my book a third time. I had to get out of how to worry about servers because most of them have just a computer, mm-hmm. a Mac. They don't have the servers to go through. So I had to literally take out content and put it back in and rearrange it because, again, I had to listen to my clients, my customers. Where was my target audience? And the target audience is not only just about a book, but it's about a radio show. It's about coffee. It's about vegetables and pizza. Where's your target audience? What's the numbers? So when I found about those numbers about small businesses, I went, I can sell a lot more books.
Businesses.
Exactly. So I literally said, okay, that's where I'm going with this.
So it took you about 4 years maybe to do your research and about a year to actually put it together once you got all your research done.
Yeah. Let me back up even further. The issue for me is, and I use the illustration of, I have a master's degree. I got a bachelor's and a master's degree. Colleges will teach you the craft of your business. Mm-hmm. Law, medicine, computers, writing, radio. They won't teach you the business of your craft, how to make money at it. They don't, do they? Did you have any business classes when you were in there? Or if it was maybe 2 hours, right?
Yeah, it wasn't very long at all.
Yeah, but guess what? That's what they're saying. Okay, learn this and go out and fend for yourself. My wife she studied real estate. They told her all about real estate, but not how to make money at it. And I'm writing this, and I'm realizing, and my wife's saying, how do I work on the computer to do this? All right, go solve the problem. Go write about it. Okay. How are you making money at it? And that's when I realized that this craft of the business and the business of the craft is where the problem lies. Nobody's talking how to make money at what they love to do. Mm-hmm. And so that's when I realized, okay. So, and me being a process person, like I talked about TQM, how do you start something? It's like building a house. You got to have the plan. You got to have the foundation. You go from there. How do you do all that stuff? So I literally said, okay, let's rewrite this book again. And literally when I wrote the book, I have my chapters such that I came from the computer perspective. The computer perspective is, what's the basis for the computer? The hardware. What's the next level? The operating system. What's next?
Software.
Software and the user interface. 2 months before I got done with the book, I realized that's not the way a business runs their business. The business says, what's the problem? What's the software that will solve the problem?
Okay.
And what computer system will it run on? I had to literally rearrange chapters 2 months before I was done, saying, this is the business approach to computers, not the computer approach. So I had to, again, I'm sitting in my, if I'm running my business, how do I solve that problem? How do I had to look from a business perspective, not the computer salesman perspective. So see how each step of the way I'm learning something completely,
something
new that changes the way I'm doing things. So I literally realized, oh, I need to switch all these chapters around to fit what a business person would be doing. So I literally said, okay, and what's your business idea? Okay, business idea, and then how to market it, and how to sell, and how to run it. And then again, thinking big, I came down to what I call end-to-end. It's not about the idea. It's how do I come up with the idea, put it in the market, get the marketing, get the sales, how do I make a profit, how do I pay taxes, and oh, by the way, taxes come before my profit. your expenses, then your taxes, then your profit. How much profit am I making off of what I've just done? And there are people literally that I've consulted with, and I said, okay, you've got the idea, blah, 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 everything goes, how are you going to ring it up? What do you mean, how am I going to ring it up? Okay, you want to sell this book or you want to sell your product, how are you going to ring it up? How are you going to put the money in your bank? So
right,
they don't do that end-to-end. What's the next step of it? I got the marketing, got the sale.
Got all that stuff, but how do I make money?
How do I make money? So it's that end-to-end approach to it of got to look at the complete cycle of trying to attract a customer, trying to make a sale to a customer, deliver to the customer. I mean, I sat and listened to a multimillionaire talk, and she says, yep, you got to move the needles. And I'm going, move the needles? What in the world are you talking about, move the needles? And it basically is you have to measure something in order to move. You like cars, don't you?
Yes.
You have a tachometer?
Yes.
RPM gauge?
Yes.
That shows you what you're measuring, isn't it?
Yeah.
One of the things that a business measure is sales, but sales is not profit. Sales is the numbers, but if you don't track how much profit you're making, you're not showing how much you're making.
And how much is going out.
Exactly. It's sales minus expenses equal profit. So the bottom line is that I sat there and looked at that and said, okay, we got to write this as if we're running a business from start to finish. How do I start it? I got the idea. And how do I sequence those things in the right way? Because literally I wrote about the marketing side. And when I say, hey, I've got 2 months left before I start marketing my book. And I realized I should have been marketing my book 6 months before. Mm. And I went, oh, I'm writing about marketing and I didn't even know how to market. So I had to write about how to market and where the timing frame. I mean, what years ago you'd be in marketing? Years ago in books, I used to produce a book and literally put it out there and start selling it. Now, you actually pre-market the book before it's ever sold to generate interest and everything else on that. So, all right, after the break, I'll come back and finish up the story about how do I finish my book and then get into the bigger context. So, you're tuned into Let's Talk Business and the Bible here at Christ the King World Radio at CTK Radio.
And away.
Christ the King World Radio is a 501c3 nonprofit internet Christian radio station, and at this time, we need your financial support. To help us continue to bring the light unto a dark world, please visit one of the donate links conveniently located on our websites, www.worldmediaministries.org or ctkradio.org. And thank you for listening to and supporting Christ the King World Radio at ctkradio.org.
World TV Depot supports Christ the King World Radio at ctkradio.org. Beat the high costs of other international money transfer services. In the Denver metro area, call World TV Depot at 720-275-1355. Again, that is 720-275-1355.
Bringing light unto a dark world. Christ the King World Radio at ctkradio.org.
The views and opinions of the hosts or guests of the following program may or may not be those of the staff or management of CTK World Radio.
All right. This is Kevin Cullis, your chief business geek. And you're tuned in to Let's Talk Business in the Bible here at Christ the King World Radio at ctkradio.org. Okay, last segment we were talking about what?
How the schools never really taught you how to make money with your craft.
Right, absolutely. Boy, you learn well, Clarence. Yeah, so getting back to the book and where I was with the book and realizing that, oh, guess what? I need to change my book. So basically what happened is when I start out with an original idea, I said I'm going to write about computers from a business perspective. I went from writing about Windows, Mac, and Linux to writing about Big Macs, i.e. in big companies. And then I ultimately came down to focus on solopreneurs using Macs. Now, notice the trend of that. My idea remained the same, but when I got certain inputs about data, about my customers, I had to change my idea. And that's crucial. In the business world and the startup world, it's called pivoting. You start down a specific path, and when you come across information that affects what you do, you change. Either you go left or you go right. But the issue is you don't stay on the same path if it has a negative impact on what you want to do. So for me, when I went to Windows, Mac, and Linux, I realized, oh, that was my ego. But guess what? The customer didn't want to read about Windows, Mac, and Linux, because most of the time you were already in Windows, you were already in Linux, or you were already in Mac. So I would have wasted a whole lot of time and energy if I had stayed on that path. So when I got to Apple, I realized Mac people could care less. So you have to look at the numbers of what you're trying to do and where you're trying to go. So when I found out that, less than 1,000 companies in the state of Colorado had greater than 500 employees, and Apple had 10% market share, that means I would sell at the most 100 books. In reality, I would probably say maybe 10 books. I would put all that effort, years and years of effort, into a book that I would have made nothing on. So that's the idea behind this. So as I got into the solopreneur part, I realized that's a much bigger area to focus on, because there are people out there trying to start their own businesses and move from there. And fortunately for me, I think end-to-end. Start with your idea and go all the way. Look at failure. Pivoting is not a failure. In fact, in the entrepreneur out in Silicon Valley, you know what they call a 20-year-old that spends $5 million to start a business and fails?
No, what?
Experienced.
I would say so after $5 million.
So the idea is we have to get out of our head the fact that we're failures. We're not failures. We're testing something. Even Thomas Edison, when he came up, you know how many, he did tens of thousands, early, you know, what, 10, 12,000 experiments to try and come up with the light bulb? The sequel to Think and Grow Rich, they wrote about it and saying, well, if you hadn't have been finished with the light bulb, what would you be doing? And he sort of smiled and says, I wouldn't be sitting here talking to you. I'd be back in my lab trying to solve the problem. Mm-hmm. My focus was to solve the problem, not to sit there and, you know, oh, after 12, you know, or 1,000 tries, I quit. He said, I'm going to go solve that problem. And it took him 10, 12,000 experiments to come up with the answer, you know. So the same thing with every business is you don't look at it as a failure. You look at it as it didn't work. So you test and test and test until you get it right. And fortunately, when I was writing my first book, How to Start a Business Mac Version, available on Amazon.com, I wrote and reread Think and Grow Rich. And in the very chapter I was writing about business planning, it talked about, in Think and Grow Rich, if the first plan doesn't work, plan A, you go to plan B. If plan B doesn't work, you go to plan C.
Right.
So the issue is you're trying to see in the market world or in the startup world, it's called business model generation. The issue is to put your product in front of the customer and find out if you can sell it. You don't go create the perfect product. You go out and say, what is the product and does the customer like it and are they willing to spend money now for it? If you can't sell your product out of the gate, you're not doing it. Either there's a problem with your product or the problem you're not listening to the customer or a problem with your marketing, whatever. But don't create a perfect product because guess what? Nothing's ever perfect.
Right.
Nothing is ever perfect out of the gate. Do you think the iPhone, when I started selling the iPhone, was great? It was great compared to everything else, but it wasn't perfect. It was perfect for what it did. But guess what? We're on to iPhone 6 now. So going forward, I literally said, okay, let's do it. I got the book done, and the last 2 months I switched around the chapters around, and then went to a book conference here called CIPA, Colorado Independent Publishers Association, and went to there and learned about how not only to write a book, but guess what? How to market a book. Mm. Because as an author, they say 90% of your effort isn't writing it. 90% of your business is marketing it,
promoting
it. Yeah. Getting the book done, you think that's 90% of the work. No, it's 10% of the work. The other 90% is going out and selling it. So that's why I talk about the business of your craft and the craft of your business. I'm an author, but I'm also a business person. Now, there are some people who love to be authors, and that's all they want to be. And they won't make it as far. Because guess what? You got to go learn to sell yourself. And everybody has to sell. I don't care who you are. I don't care if you're selling coffee at Starbucks or if you're selling cakes at a cake store or a cupcake store or bread or vegetables. Everybody has to sell. Everybody has to sell. And you watch people's reaction. And most business people, if you watch the vendors at a local farmer's market, they all sit around just waiting for you to pass by, not inviting you at all into their area. Oh, they might have samples for what they offer, but they won't invite you into their area. And that's literally not so good salesmanship. So anyway, finally got the book done in June 2010 and then started selling it. And it did okay. I did better selling face-to-face than I did online. But then life happens and my father got sick, had to file bankruptcy. I hated doing that. Felt really bad about what I was going through. And then my dad passed away. And that's one of those things that Beatrice talks about, letting go and the things that you have to go through. Life happens, you know. And as much as you like to sit there and say, I wish it was all, you know, happy, happy, go, you know, joy, joy. It's not all, you know.
It's not.
That's not. And so my dad passed away. Life had to change. And got an inheritance. And it was nice. It took some pressure off. But guess what? It still wasn't there.
Yeah.
And so basically I met a guy named Jimmy Graham, because part of what I wrote about in terms of being an entrepreneur is you have to have a cause. You have to have something bigger than yourself, because that's what motivates you. That, why am I getting up every day? Why am I getting up in the morning, or why am I going to bed at night? What am I, what's my passion? What's my purpose? You know, what is it that I do from that perspective? So I literally connected with Jimmy. He's a former Navy SEAL. He and I talked about his church and what needs to happen. And I realized that there's a problem in the church. And the problem is in the church is there's a disconnect between the church and businesses. And the point was that, and the surveys have done shown that vast majority of businesses will not go see their pastors because the pastors don't understand economics and don't understand business. And I'm going, that's the biggest ministry in the world is business. And I said, why isn't that? So I literally started, did some quick research in January of this year, 2014. And in February I started writing. And I'll tell you what, it's been unbelievable what I found in the Bible that I've never either seen or heard since I started this. And to give you the perfect example is when it comes to what God has given each of us, as I have mentioned to a number of friends, if you go on YouTube, look up Jonathan and Charlotte, Britain's Got Talent. And what you will find there is that a young gentleman who's 16, 17, Jonathan, has an opera voice that is just unbelievable. Yet what would happen if he didn't use that talent and didn't put it out to use going forward? If he just hid that, it wouldn't be pleasing to everybody. So the idea is that each one of us have talents and skills. Some are buried. They haven't been brought out yet. But the key point for here is each one of us is unique, and we all have talents and skills, and it's a matter of maximize those. So what you're going to find is that over the next number of radio shows, I am going over my seven steps, seven chapters. Basically, I'm going to go over each area that covers starting a business. Chapter one is going to be talking about you and who you are, what your talents are, what kind of mindset you need to have, and what kind of skill set you need to have to start your business. Chapter two is going to be about markets and about models. McDonald's is a model. Apple is a model. Starbucks is the model. Every business has a specific model they follow. Chapter three is about ideas for products and services. Now, how do you come up with those ideas? Where do you go for those ideas? What do you do to produce it? Chapter four is going to be marketing and sales. Marketing is about attracting customers. Sales is actually taking the money. And chapter five is going to be about operations. Operations basically means that how do you run your company? If you don't run it well, that takes you time and money to do it, which means you're stressed out. So if you don't know how to run the company well, you're going to be stressed more than you should be. Then chapter six is going to be about finance, money, and taxes. Again, we won't be heavy into that, but we're going to talk about it because probably the biggest factor of chapter six is basically you have to understand your numbers. If I didn't find out that there are 350,000 businesses in the state of Colorado and less than 1,000 had greater than 500 employees, how would that affect my energy and my effort? I would have wasted it. So you have to know not only your finance numbers, but you have to know your customer numbers. How many customers are there? How many businesses are there? Apple has 10% market share. That gives me an idea of how many customers I potentially have. Apple sells, what, 4 million max a quarter or even higher. That means that's and Apple has 30% roughly of the businesses that buy that. So 4 million out of a third, so that means roughly a million businesses buy Mac computers. That's my client. If I don't know those numbers, guess what? It's not going to go anywhere. So the last part is actually going to be legal and others. Those are those areas that we don't know well, but we still need to discuss it, like intellectual property, copyright, trademark, things of that sort. I won't talk a lot about it, but I need to talk about it because it still becomes important. So that's the seven steps to it. So basically, It's called Let's Tune In to Let's Talk Business and the Bible here at Christ the King World Radio at ctkradio.org. And this is Kevin Cullis, your chief business geek.
World TV Depot supports Christ the King World Radio at ctkradio.org. Do you need reliable international long distance that starts at only 1 cent per minute? Then call us at World TV Depot at 720-275-1355. Again, please call us at 720-275-1355.
This portion of our broadcast day made possible by GECS, Corporate Identity, Custom Graphics, and Website Design. For more information, visit their website at www.gecs-us.com. That address again, www.gecs-us.com. Bringing light unto a dark world. Christ the King World Radio at ctkradio.org.
All right, we're back. My name is Kevin Cullis, and I am the chief business geek of Let's Talk Business and the Bible. And we're here at Christ the King World Radio at ctkradio.org. All right, last segment, we talked about the seven chapters, and that's what I'm calling it for the moment. But let's talk about each segment and talk a couple minutes about each segment. Let's talk about you. Specifically, God has given each one of us a unique ability, and there's actually a number out there, and go Google for it, that your set of parents, that your unique DNA makes you one, the odds of being one out of 400 trillion unique individuals. That's how unique you are. And so that being the case is you have unique skills and talents that God has given you that nobody else has. There might be some similarities. You're a man, you're a woman, okay, but there's some uniqueness about you that nobody else has. So the issue is you have to understand that worth. You have to understand that value that you have. There's a real interesting story in the Bible called Parable of the Talents. And in my new book called Bible Secrets for Startups and Entrepreneurs, I go heavy into it, but let me give you the basic premise. In the story, the master brings up three slaves and gives five talents to one slave, two talents to another slave, and one talent to the third slave. What most people don't realize, and not until I did the study on it, the talent was the largest currency of the day. It was 75 pounds of gold. And 75 pounds of gold in today's market means that each talent is worth, in today's dollars, $1.5 million, which means that master gave five talents or $7.8 million to that slave to go work it. He gave two, which was 1.5, would be $3 million, and he gave $1.5 million to the slave. But if you know the story, the parable, that last slave, what did he do with the talent?
Buried it.
He buried it, exactly. And what did the master say when he came back after months? And here's the interesting thing. He went for months. I don't know whether it was 6 months or a year, but he went for a long time, it says twice. Long time. So when you stop thinking, he went away for a long time, but the lazy slave buried it. What did he do for that whole time?
Nothing.
Yeah, probably sat around the closest Starbucks and had a coffee or whatever, but he did nothing that whole time. And so the master came back and said, okay, give an account, and went to this lazy slave and said, all right, I need my talent, need what you did with it. And in the Greek, it literally says, I give you your talent. Not here's your talent. It was smugly this is your property. Here's your talent.
Glad to give it back.
Glad to give it back. And I just got a bad attitude about it. And the master just went off on him. And he said, well, you lazy, no good, slave, yeah, yeah, yeah. And here's the interesting thing. That lazy slave, the master's told him, you could have at least put the talent in the bank and I would have earned interest on it. Now, if Jesus is saying, put the money in the bank, that means a bank is a legitimate business. Mm-hmm. And if it's a legitimate business, that means, now, understand, can banks make mistakes and can banks be corrupt? Absolutely.
Of course.
Absolutely. But as a business, a bank is a legitimate business. Well, that means it's okay to put it in the bank. Now, find the right bank that fits what you want to do. But the bank is a legitimate business, is what God says and what Jesus says, so it's good. But here's the moral of that. The lazy slave had buried it, and basically the master said, hey, you need to put it to work. He doesn't want something sitting around doing nothing, which means he doesn't want you sitting around, he doesn't want me sitting around, or you've got a piece of equipment that's sitting doing nothing. He wants it to put it to work, which means that's what we're supposed to do. But here's the spiritual part of it. How many of us, me, you, Clarence, how many of us have buried talents that have been either buried by friends and family or bosses, that have our talents buried that are not been put to use?
I would say the majority of us.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So the question becomes now, as you, as an individual, being your uniqueness, the odds of 1 out of 400 trillion, what are the chances that you have talents that you haven't even dug up yet, that you have buried, or you've buried yourself or somebody else has buried, that you need to unearth and put it to work? That's the biggest factor for you and me, is how do we take and uncover that? Where do we go figure that out? I would guess most of us, and I'll ask you, Clarence, when you were growing up, when you were in your 8, 10, 12 years old, did you have a good idea on what you loved to do?
Yes.
What did you love to do at that age?
I loved music. I was in the marching band and the band and
everything.
Anything that made a noise, I was on it.
So see, that's where most people are. They have a good idea at 8, 10, 12 years old what they want to do. There's a lady here in Denver named Tama Keeves, K-I-E-V-E-S, who, when I went learning about my first book, her story was that she said when she ran into her mom in high school, in junior high or high school, 10, 12, whatever, she ran into her mom and said, Mom, I know what I want to be when I grow up. Her mom says, what? She goes, I want to be a writer. She goes, nope. And being a Brooklyn Jewish family, she went to be a lawyer. Graduated Harvard Law, cum laude. Upper echelon of being smart. And then she started out here in Denver working at a prestigious law firm. And then started seeing a therapist. Started seeing a therapist. And the therapist says, what's the problem? Oh, long story short, what's the problem? I don't like what I do. What do you want to do? I want to go write. You go do that. So now she finds out what's inside of them and brings it out. So the idea is that every one of us has a pretty good inkling of what we love to do. For you, Clarence, it was music and everything related to music. For me, I have an engineering brain. I sequence things. I plan things out. I had an inkling of that, but not what my parents pointed me in that direction. So the issue for individuals is you probably have a good idea what you love to do, then go do that. If you're parents and have kids, the issue is not to force your kids into what you want them to do. The issue is God has already designed them to do something. Don't push them into something that you want them to do, because that will make them angry.
Miserable. Angry and resentful.
And resentful, exactly. The issue is whatever they are interested in, pour gas on it. I don't care if it's 30 different things. They play trumpet for 2 weeks and then drop it and find something. Doesn't matter. Keep pouring gas on it, because something is going to stick somewhere that they will love. And as kids, go play. Go find out a number of different ways to do that. Then when you go find out who you are, then you can follow it. But even then, if you had told me 10 years ago that I wouldn't have written this book on how to start a business, Mac version, I would have said, yeah, right. Why? Because my dad always poo-pooed me as saying, you're not very good at writing. I'm not the best writer.
Well, Kevin, let me ask you this. For someone that doesn't know what their talent is, or maybe they're just not sure what their talent is or what it is that they love to do, what kind of advice would you give them to help them bring that out and understand?
The biggest thing is try. Try something. And I consulted with a guy a number of years ago, and he says, I want to start a bakery making donuts. And so I turned around and I said, well, have you gone to work for a bakery? Oh, no. I'm going to take my Lockheed Martin retirement and go invest in a bakery. And I thought, no, go work for a bakery. Oh, no, I'm going to go do it. Well, guess what? He did it and closed it after 6 months. So the idea is, if you want to do something, go do that. Go work in that area.
Okay.
Just find, like, I love music. Well, go find something. Go be a roadie on a band and get involved with it. Because the issue is not just music. It's everything surrounding music. It's not making bread. It's about everything, right, making bread. It's getting up at 4 a.m, making the donuts and making the bread and cooking it and baking it and everything and ready, and then talking to the customers about it. So the issue for everybody, I don't care who you are, is if you have an inkling of what you love to do, then go into that industry to go do it. Even if it's a low-paying job, I don't care if you're getting out of the service. I actually went to be a janitor for a while. I was a janitor for 6 months. I lost 10 pounds or 20 pounds. Hey, I earned money losing weight.
That's a good way to think about it.
Yeah, exactly. So, but I learned from it, you know, learned doing that. But I didn't like it. Okay. But I didn't poo-poo it. I just said, okay, it's not for me.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So the issue is, no matter how many talents you have, go do that in whatever it is. If you love computers, then go learn about computers. Go do it. Whether it's because understand there's a huge industry about computers. There's not only, hey, do I sell computers, but not only do I fix computers, I can design computers. I can write programs. The industry is huge on whatever industry that you love to do. Writing, as an example, I can be a writer, but guess what? You can also be an editor. You can always be a book designer. You can also be a book salesman. It's not just one area. It's multiple areas that you can be in. So I tell everybody, no matter what you're interested in, everybody has multiple talents. Not just one, not three, but 5, 10, 15, 20. The issue is to go find all those talents that you have and then work them as best you can with the time you have and the resource you have. You may be in a dead-end job, like I went as a computer set, but I also found out and say, I've got some gumption. What can I do with it? So I applied myself. That's the issue, is applying yourself, finding out what it is that you love to do. I am not the best writer around, but what makes me different as a writer is how I think and how I convey my thinking in my writing. Am I a Stephen King? No, by no means am I a Stephen King. My writer, editor says, Kevin, you've got all these problems that occur. I know, but you're supposed to fix them, not me.
Yeah, that's your job.
Yeah, it's your job. But understand, whatever you love to do, go do it. Even if it's the lowest paying job, go do that, because you'll find out if you like it. Mm-mm. If you still love, like I love, say, I love being around horses. Well, go volunteer. If you're a kid, go volunteer at a barn or at a horse, you know, stable or whatever. And they'll put you to work. Hey, mm-hmm. You got to shovel the manure, right?
Right.
If you still love being around the horses, guess what? That's what you love. If you find out, I don't like shoveling manure, well, guess what?
You're probably not
going to be there, because horses are a part of manure and you can't get away from it. So the best advice I can give everybody is go do what you think you like to do. And if you don't like it, after 6 months, well, you try getting paid for it. You found out it's not me. Say, thank you very much for the experience. I appreciate the time working for you, but it's not me. But don't throw it away. Just say, it's not for me. Let's find something else. And that's all you do. The biggest thing is just go finding that something, or go being around somebody that does what you want to do. If you love being that, then go hang around with those people. But the issue is, you have to find out who you are first. and then go be that. Because I can guarantee, especially when you start a business, give you the perspective. If you have, if you love what you do versus hate what you do or really dislike what you do, and you're stressed, which do you think you're going to handle the best? Would you love what you do and handling stress, or hate what you do and handle stress? Which would handle the best?
Definitely the love.
Absolutely. And but the other part of that out is that what does that do for your life? When you love what you do, and even under stress, you love doing it, you're able to handle it. And how does that affect your relationships?
A whole lot better.
When you hate what you do, my father-in-law hated what he did, but he did it. And that affected his relationship. No, not really bad, but it just affected it. I got to do what I got to do. Agreeably, there's some people that I got to do what you got to do, and you got to put up with it, and you got to do it. But don't give up that, saying I can't find it. Do that 15 minutes a day. When it comes to writer, they say write 1,000 words a day. If you write 1,000 words a day, 5 days a week, 20 days a month, within 3 months, 28,000 words per month. That means in 3 months, you've written the average size of a 6x9 book, 60,000 words.
Wow.
1,000 words every day for 5 days. You got weekends off, 20,000 words a month, 60,000 words in 3 months. You've actually written the average size of a trade back 6x9 book.
Wow.
How long would it take you to write 1,000 words? 15 minutes?
15 minutes.
How, an hour? You've got a book at the end of that. So when you concentrate on yourself, the issue is I look at myself, what do I love to do? What do I love to do? And when you do that, you're on the road to getting it done. So you're talking to Kevin Cullis, Chief Business Geek, and the show is Let's Talk Business and the Bible here at Christ the King World Radio at ctkradio.org. God bless you, everybody.
Christ the King World Radio is a 501c3 nonprofit internet Christian radio station. And at this time, we need your financial support. To help us continue to bring the light unto a dark world, please visit one of the donate links conveniently located on our websites, www.worldmediaministries.org or ctkradio.org. And thank you for listening to and supporting Christ the King World Radio at ctkradio.org.
World TV Depot supports Christ the King World Radio at ctkradio.org.